The Lord of the Rings by J.R.R. Tolkien. Prepared for radio in 13 episodes by Brian Sibley. With Ian Holm, Michael Horton, Robert Stevens, and John LeMessurier. Episode 4, adapted by Michael Bakewell. The Ring Goes South.
I, Frodo, son of Drogo, will take the ring, though I do not know the way.
If I understand aright all that I have heard, I think that the task is appointed for you, Frodo, and that if you do not find a way, no one will. This is the hour of the Shire folk, when they arise from their quiet fields to shake the towers and councils of the great. But it is a heavy burden, so heavy that none could lay it on another. I do not lay it on you, but if you take it freely, I will say that your choice is right.
But you won't send me off alone, surely, Master Elrond?
No, indeed, Sam Gamgee. You at least shall go with him. It is hardly possible to separate you from him, even when he is summoned to a secret council and you are not.
It's a nice pickle we've landed ourselves in, Mr. Frodo.
The hobbits were nearly 2 months in the House of Elrond. Health and hope grew strong in them, and they were content with each new day as it came. Autumn waned. A wind began to blow chill from the misty mountains to the east. The hunter's moon waxed round in the sky and put to flight all the lesser stars. But low in the south, one star shone red. Every night it shone, brighter and brighter. Frodo could see it from his window, deep in the heavens, burning like a watchful eye. December was passing when Elrond summoned the hobbits to him.
The time has come. Our scouts have returned. It would seem that the ringwraiths are scattered and have gone empty and shapeless back to the Dark Lord. Who knows how long it will be before they find new steeds? If the ring is to set out, it must go soon. But those who go with it must not count on their errand being aided by war or force. They must pass into the domain of the enemy far from aid. Do you still hold to your word, Frodo, that you will be the ring-bearer?
I do. And Sam Gamgee will go with me.
I cannot help you much, not even with counsel. I can foresee very little of your road, and how the task is to be achieved, I do not know. But I will choose your companions to go with you, as far as they will or fortune allows. The number must be few, since your hope is in speed and secrecy. The company of the ring shall be 9, and the 9 walkers shall be set against the 9 riders that are evil. With you and your faithful servant, Gandalf will go, for this shall be his great task, and maybe the end of his labours. For the rest, they shall represent the other free peoples of the world, elves, dwarves, and men. Legolas shall be for the elves, and Gimli, son of Glóin, for the dwarves. They are willing to go at least to the passes of the mountains, and perhaps beyond. For men, you shall have Aragorn, son of Arathorn, for the Ring of Isildur concerns him closely.
Strider.
Yes, I ask leave once again to be your companion, Frodo.
I would have begged you to come, only I thought you were going to Minas Tirith with Boromir.
I am, but your road and our road lie together for many hundreds of miles. Therefore, Boromir will also be one of the company. He is a valiant man.
There remain 2 more to be found. These I will consider. Of my household, I may find some that it seems good to me to send.
But that will leave no place for Merry and me. We don't want to be left behind. We want to go with Frodo.
That is because you do not understand and cannot imagine what lies ahead.
Neither does Frodo. Nor does any one of us see clearly. I think, Elrond, that in this matter, it would be well to trust rather to their friendship than to great wisdom. Even if you chose for us an elf lord such as Glorfindel, he could not storm the Dark Tower, nor open the road to the fire by the power that is in him.
You speak gravely. But I am in doubt. The Shire is not now free from peril. I had thought to send these two back to warn the people of their danger. In any case, I judge that the younger of these two, Peregrine Took, should remain. My heart is against his going.
Then you will have to lock me in prison or send me home tied in a sack. For otherwise, I will follow the company.
Let it be so, then. You shall go. Now the tale of nine is filled. In 7 days, the company must depart.
The sword of Elendil was forged anew by elvish smiths, and on its blade was traced a device of 7 stars set between the crescent moon and the rayed sun, and about them was written many runes. And Aragorn gave it a new name, and called it Andúril, Flame of the West.
Frodo, yes? Your sword was broken at the Ford of Bruinen. I took it to keep it safe, but I forgot to ask if the smiths could mend it. There's no time now. So, I thought perhaps you would care to have this. Now, this is Sting. I got it from the trolls on the way to Smaug's Mountain. Take it if you like. But I don't suppose I shall want it again.
Thank you. I will guard it well.
Also, there's this. It is a pretty thing, isn't it? And useful. It's my dwarf mail that Thorin gave me. I brought all the mementos of my journey away with me. But I don't need it now, except to look at sometimes. You hardly feel any weight when you put it on.
Well, I don't think I should look right in it.
That's just what I said myself. But never mind about looks. You can wear it under your outer clothes, but don't tell anybody else. I should feel happier if I knew you were wearing it. I have a fancy it would turn even the knives of the Black Riders.
Very well, I will take it. Bilbo?
Hmm?
I cannot thank you as I should for this and all your past kindnesses.
Oh, don't try, don't try. I'd hoped you might be able to help me with my book. Have you thought of an ending yet?
Yes, several. And they're all dark and unpleasant.
Oh, no, well, that won't do at all. Books ought to have good endings. Now, how would this do? And they all settled down and lived together happily ever after.
It will do very well if it ever comes to that.
Slow should you be to wind that horn again, Boromir, until you stand once more on the borders of your land, and dire need is on you.
Maybe, but always have I let my horn cry at setting forth as a sign to the foes of Gondor, and though thereafter we may walk in shadows, I will not go forth as a thief in the night.
Be that as it may, you should, all of you, fear the many eyes of the servants of Sauron.
Well counseled, Master Elrond. We will be vigilant.
And have you all you need for your long journey? Food, clothes, and blankets.
More than enough, for dwarves make light of burden. Shirt of steel and a strong axe are all I need.
And how are we to carry it all?
Never you mind that. You didn't think Bill would desert us, did you?
This animal can nearly talk, and he would talk if he stayed here much longer. He gave me a look as plain as you could speak it yourself, Mr. Pippin.
If you don't let me go with you, Sam, I'll follow on my own.
Well, you oughtn't to have took up with us, Bill, my lad. You could have stayed here. Ate the best hay till the new grass grows. Right, now then, have I forgotten anything? There's cooking gear, salt, pipe weed, flint, tinder, rope, no rope. And only last night you said to yourself, Sam, what about a bit of rope? You'll want it if you haven't got it. Well, I'll want it. I can't get it now.
Come, it is time to set forth.
Farewell, and may the blessing of elves and men and all free folk go with you. May the stars shine upon your faces.
They crossed the bridge and wound slowly up the steep paths that led out of the cloven vale of Rivendell. And they came at length to the high moor where the wind hissed through the heather. Then, with one glance at the last homely house twinkling below them, they strode away far into the night. At first, it seemed to the hobbits that although they walked and stumbled until they were weary, they were creeping forward like snails, getting nowhere. Yet, steadily, the mountains were drawing nearer. They had been a fortnight on the way, when, just as the sun was rising, they reached a low ridge crowned with ancient holly trees.
There are mountains ahead of us. How shall we cross them?
There is the land where the dwarves worked of old. The places there stand tall in our dreams, but I know them and their names. For under them lies Khazad Dûm, the Dwaradelph, that is now called the Black Pit, Moria in the Elvish tongue. Yonder stands the Red Horn, cruel Caradhras.
Cruel or not, we must climb to the Red Horn Gate, under the far side of Caradhras. We shall come then, down by the Dimrill Stair, into the deep vale of the dwarves.
My heart trembles at the thought that I may see it.
May you have joy at the sight, Gimli, but we at least cannot stay in that valley. We must go down the Silver Lode into the secret woods, and so to the great river, and then...
And then?
To the end of the journey. In the end, we cannot look too far ahead. Let us be glad that the first stage is safely over. I think we will rest here now that the day is breaking, and sleep.
At dusk, the company set out, and turning now half east, they steered their course towards Caradhras, which glowed faintly red in the last light of the vanished sun. By the third morning, they had reached the foot of the mountain, and the weary company lay down to sleep. But Frodo was uneasy and wakeful, and so it was he overheard Gandalf and Aragorn.
Winter deepens behind us. The heights away north are whiter than they were. Tonight we shall be on our way high up towards the Red Horn Gate. We may well be seen by watchers on that narrow path, but the weather may prove a more deadly enemy than any. What do you think?
We must go on. It is no good delaying the passage of the mountains. Further south, there are no passes until one comes to the Gap of Rohan. I do not trust that way since your news of Saruman's desire for the ring. Who knows now which side Théoden and the marshals of the Horse...
Who knows serve? Indeed, but there is another way, and not by the pass of Caradhras. The dark and secret way we have spoken
but
of.
But let us not speak of it again, not yet. Say nothing to the others, I beg. Not until it is plain there is no other way.
But to Frodo's relief, when evening came, Gandalf chose the way over the pass. The narrow path wound under a sheer wall of cliffs to the left, above which the grim flanks of Caradhras towered up, invisible in the gloom. On the right was a gulf of darkness, where the land fell suddenly into a deep ravine.